your day the African way.
Yes!
Radio Africana.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Philemon chapter 1.
Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints.
Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus.
That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee.
For my son,
Onesimus,
whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me.
Whom I have sent again,
thou therefore receive it.
That is, mine own bowels,
whom I would have retained with me, that in thy
but without thy mind
would I do nothing,
that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity,
but willingly.
For perhaps he therefore departed
for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever.
Not now as a servant,
but above a servant,
a brother beloved,
especially to me.
But how much more unto thee,
both in the flesh and in the Lord.
If thou count me therefore a part.
Our reading today comes from the book of Philemon, and that's where our Bible study is going to be coming from, and that's where our discussion is going to be coming from today. And the book of Philemon only has got 25 verses in it. We're just going to read the first few verses to come up to the point of Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, which is what we want to focus on this day. Now, the book is written to Philemon, and it's written by the Apostle Paul, and we catch up with him on verse 3, where he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Verse 6 says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, you can quickly skim over this particular narrative and not bother about what else actually is it saying, because it says that the acknowledging of thy faith may become effectual that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. The question now is what is it that is in you? Before we even talk about what is in you, what is communication of thy faith? Communication of thy faith, it means the exercise, the practice, the display, the manner of life of your faith. If you say you are a believer, then let's hear it by the way you live your life. Let's hear it by the way you talk. Let's hear it by the friends you keep. Let's hear it by the way you conduct your business. Let's hear it by the way you exist on this earth. Let's hear it by the love you have for the Lord himself. Now, he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, which means that you may be communicating, you may be displaying, you may be exercising, you may be manifesting your faith, but if it is a faith which does not acknowledge every good thing that is in you, then that communication of your faith is no longer effective, it's no longer effectual, it's no longer the standard which is required by the scriptures. The question is, what are these good things which are in you? Because he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's the question now. What is it that is in you in Christ Jesus? Because if you, for a start, if you have got a false Jesus, if you are following a false Jesus who is not the Jesus of the scriptures, the true New Testament Jesus, if you are following or hearing about another type of Jesus who is not the Jesus of the New Testament, it means then that the communication of your faith is not going to be effective. It's not going to be effectual. And it may be that you lose your way. You know, you hear people on the internet saying, I used to be a Christian. I used to believe in the Bible. I used to believe this Jesus of yours. But then I realized this, I realized that, I realized this. Why are they like that? Because they don't know who the true Jesus is, number one. Number two, they don't know who they are. Because in order for you to know that you are a container of something, because it says the communication of your faith may become effective, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It means that you have got space and volume and dimensions within yourself which are able to contain these things which are being called the good things which are in you. Now, if you don't know that a human being is a spirit who lives in a body and has got a soul, then you are in trouble for to start with, because if you think you are just the flesh, then where are these things going to be? If you are going to be acknowledging every good thing which is in you, where are you going to begin? Because you don't even know what makes up a human being, what makes up a person, what makes up the essence of what a human being is. Now, I am saying to you, a human being is a spirit who lives in a body and has got a soul. Where do we get this from? We get it from the scriptures, because we know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, that God created Adam, the first man, as a spiritual being. And he kept Adam within himself in a certain realm, not in heaven, but in a certain realm, where eventually Adam, the time came, the season came, the dispensation came. There is a time for everything, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time for this, a time for that. So when the season came for the spirit of Adam to be downloaded from God, from that dimension of life, wherever that realm was, into a physical body which God had created, not created, had formed. It was only the human spirit which was created. The human body cannot be created. It was not created. It was formed from the dust of the earth. And we get this from Genesis chapter 2 on verse 7. That's where we get it from, that God formed the body of Adam from the dust of the earth. And it was a lifeless body. It was a lifeless body. And then God downloaded the spirit of Adam from the realm where he had kept him. So from the time Adam was created as a spiritual being in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and all the way to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, We don't know how much time passed there. There is no quantification. There is no calculation of that time to know how many days, how many weeks, how many years, how many decades, how many centuries passed. We don't know that. It's in an unquantified time. So by the time then, when the season came for the spirit of Adam to be downloaded into this body which God had formed from the dust of the earth, God did exactly that. And it was after he had rested on the seventh day, and he resumed his work again, and then he put man in this body body of dust which he had formed from the dust of the earth. And man, as the scripture says, and God breathed into this body, and man became a living soul. So we know then that spiritual Adam existed before he had a body, and then a body was given to him. Now, that tells us that a human being is a spirit who lives in a body, just like the scripture says that Adam was created in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. No, in Genesis 1, 26, 27, and then was downloaded into the body. So there is a dichotomy, there's a duality to human life. And what is then the soul? The soul is the union between your fleshly human body and your spirit self being together. When your spirit and your soul are together, that union is what gives your personality, your intellect, your emotions, the seat of the emotions, the ability, the five senses, the ability to function in this three-dimensional world, because you've got a soul. And a soul is that lively being which is the result of the spirit and the body being together. If your spirit exits or comes out of your body, they call that mortal death. You have died, you have left your body, and you go somewhere, you see, and your body is left as a shell. So here the scripture is saying that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. And we are asking the question, what is this every good thing which is in you? Where do we find these good things? What are they? Number one, we need to know that those good things, number one, is the grace of God. The grace of God is that ability of God which he has put on you so that he can pioneer the coming of his love. And the coming of his love is the coming of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We can see in Genesis chapter 1 on verse 1 that the scripture says that the earth was formless and void, and the spirit of God hovered over the waters. So what was the spirit doing? He says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see now, so that was a prophecy of grace, that even before you knew that there is a savior who died for you, even before you knew that there is a savior who died on the cross and went to hell for you, he had already done it before you knew it. Before you were even born, he had already done it. That's like the Spirit of God moving over the waters. And that is the grace of God already working in your life. And the scripture further emphasizes this by saying that in Ephesians 2, verse 8, that for it is by grace that you are saved through faith, that not of your own, so that nobody can boast. You see, so if you are a believer, because this letter, remember, it was being written to a believer, so or somebody who is already in Christ. So if you say you are a believer, you need to know. If you're ignorant of the fact, maybe you jumped some stages in the way you came to the faith, or maybe you were even believing in a false Jesus. Like, what kind of Jesus is a false Jesus as well? The Jesus who is going to ask people to pay 10% of their income as a legal obligation to pay the tithe. That is a false Jesus. The Jesus who never grows up and is always in the hands of his mother, and never grows up and he needs his mother to command him about. That is a false Jesus. The Jesus who allows mere man, biological man, who then claim to be your spiritual father, when there is only one spiritual father, one God, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one faith. There is only one Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 23:23. So there is no spiritual father. So if you've got a Jesus who is somewhere in the hierarchy, the office of a spiritual father, and the spiritual father is referring to a man with flesh, bones, and blood, and is being called a spiritual father, that is another false Jesus, because every seed produces after its kind. So your pastor is a human being. How can he produce a spiritual son, a spiritual father? How can he become a spiritual father? That is a false Jesus. If you believe in a Jesus whom they say was never crucified, someone else was crucified on his behalf and he escaped to heaven, that is another false Jesus. If you have got this other Jesus who they say he requires you to keep a calendar Sabbath, like as if the Aaronic, the Levitical priesthood is there in the temple in Jerusalem, that is another false Jesus. If you've got a Jesus who requires you to be circumcised, for example, as a man, that if you are not circumcised, then you are not going to be saved, that also is another false Jesus. There are so many false Jesuses out there, my friend. If the Jesus whom you believe in did not go to hell for you, did not take the keys of hell and death from the devil, that kind of Jesus is a false Jesus. So before you think about, okay, what is this good thing which is in me, you got to believe the correct Jesus, the one who rose again from the dead after being crucified on the cross and has got the keys of hell and of death. And the only way, he says, I am the only way. No man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That type of Jesus, who is not going to be mixed up with between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but is the King of the New Testament. That kind of Jesus is the true Jesus. Now, if you know that type of Jesus, he says, grace and peace be unto you. And so what is the acknowledging of the good thing which I knew? Grace. Yeah, the grace which the true Jesus has accomplished, what he has accomplished before you knew him, like we said in Ephesians 2:8, before you knew him. Yeah, for God so chose his love towards us. God shows his love towards us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he says, he that believes in him is not condemned. Yeah, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world may be saved. You see now, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the Son of God, whom God has sent to redeem and to save humanity from eternal destruction. So the knowledge you have, remember John 17:3, he said that this is everlasting life, that they may know thee, the only true God. So the number one thing is the knowledge of that Jesus, the true Jesus. The true Jesus, the correct Jesus, not the one who is going to be asking you to be saved by works. He's already done it. You do works as a result of what he has done. You don't do works so that you can be saved, which is why religion is false, is a false narrative, because it requires you to perform, and hope for brownie points. But Jesus says, I came for you. Receive me. Yeah, he is the one who is offering himself to you, and it is him who is choosing you to hear the gospel, the true gospel, so that you can be saved. So that is the correct type of Jesus whom we are talking about. So what is in you? We said grace is in you, because he has chosen you to hear the gospel. He has chosen you to be saved. He has chosen you to be in his name. And what else is in you? Peace. The peace of God. Remember Romans 14 says, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, yeah, which comes by grace, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. So those are the kind of things which are new. So you've got the grace of God, you've got the peace with God. Why do you have peace with God? Because you have got the understanding of the correct Jesus. Therefore, you are no longer an enemy of God. You are not. Why is it that people who don't know the true identity of Jesus Christ are enemies of God? They become enemies of God because they reject the true Jesus, and by rejecting the true Jesus, they are rejecting the love which God has sent unto them. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who is the begotten Son? The begotten Son is the one who rose again from the dead. Not the one born in the manger. No, not that one. That one was the Lamb of Sacrifice. The begotten Son is the one who is born from the dead. The first begotten from the dead. The one who is born again from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That one. Is the one who is the true Son of God, the true Savior of the world, the true New Testament Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, the true Messiah HaMashiach, the true Yehoshua, the true King of the New Testament, the true High Priest of the New Testament. So if you don't have correct knowledge of him, it means you are rejecting what God has done, which means that God has got no way of saving you from hell, no way of saving you from the devil, because the only way which he has put on this earth is that you can only be saved from going to hell by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. And we are saying the number one thing is the grace of God is in you. If you are a believer, the peace of God is with you, because now you are not destined for hell, but you are destined for eternal life in heaven. Why? Because you have acknowledged that good thing, the Savior life, the resurrection life, which the Savior himself gives. And what else is in you? Love. And faith, because the scripture says that it says in verse 5 of Philemon chapter 1 there, he says that verse 5 says that hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. So the scripture is already clear that love and faith, hearing of thy love and faith which we have. So the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you includes the acknowledging of the love and the faith which God has already given to us, because you cannot give away what you don't have, right? You say, oh, he says verse 5, he says, hearing of thy faith, of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and towards the saints, which means he is giving this love, he is giving this faith toward the Lord Jesus and towards the saints, which means he is a container of that love, he is a container of that faith, and he's got the ability to give it away. So this love, what is it? This love, this love is the love of God himself, because he loved us, because the scripture says that whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we did not know him, whilst we had no idea who he was, who he is, what happened, we were loved by him. What does that mean? It means that even before you were born, God knew that you were going to come to this earth. Even before you were born, God knew that your time was come. So we love God because he first loved us. That's what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. He loved us. Not that we love him, but he first loved us. So we love him back. So because he first loved us, we've got that love of God in us. So we got to acknowledge that I've got the love of God in me. And I'm able to give away that love because he first loved me and gave me that love. It's inside my spirit. It's in my human spirit. Therefore, I'm able to give it towards Jesus the Lord and towards the other believers in this world, who are in my sphere of living my life on this earth. So that is another thing to acknowledge which is in you. And we know that from John 3:16, which we've already said, that the God so loved the world. So we've got that love of God, and we've got to acknowledge it, because if you don't acknowledge it, then it means you don't know that you've got it. So the scripture says that in First John chapter 4, there he says on verse 10, he says, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. So, beloved, if God loved us, so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So, when he says on verse 5, the hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus, which and towards the saints, which is what is confirmed in 1 John chapter 4 on verse 10. So you can see that these are the things which the Apostle Paul was encouraging Philemon to acknowledge these things. So you find that why is it that in this New Testament dispensation you still have people complaining of racism in the church? Oh, if you are an African, you can't go to that church because the people there, the majority of them are not African and they are racist towards the Africans. Or if you are not an African, you cannot go to that African church because the people there, they come from this nation or that nation and they don't quite take along with the people from that other nation, or they don't quite take along with people from other skin tones of the races of this world. Why is it like that? Why does it have to be like that? It is like that because those people are following a rogue Jesus, a fake Jesus. That's why they are able to be the way they are. That is why they still have racism, tribalism, corruption, embezzlement, and all those things happening in the church. Why? Because they have got the false Jesus and they cannot acknowledge every good thing that is in them because they don't even have an idea of what good thing which is in them. They don't know what those things are. They don't know what it is that is in them, and they don't know the type of Jesus who has loved them, and therefore they cannot give that love because they don't have it. So we've spoken about a few things here. We've said the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. We've identified grace. We've identified peace. We've identified love. And now the other thing which is in you is faith. The scripture says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, what faith in what? Faith, if you read from John 15, verse 16, he talks about, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you may bear fruit and that your fruit may remain. So you can see that the fact that Jesus says, I have chosen you, it means you need to have faith that Jesus chose you before you were born. Jesus knew that you were coming to this earth and he chose you for salvation before this world began. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you and he chose you. He says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. You see, so you got to have faith in that, that it is not by works, it is by grace that you are saved through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the love of God, faith in the goodness of God, faith in the grace of God, that he identified you out of the billions of people on this earth. He identified you to hear the gospel and to be able to respond to that gospel and to love him as you should have, as you should love him. Because he talks about, in Romans chapter 8 verse 15, he talks about God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. If you know the process of adoption, my friend, nobody can ever claim that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No. You cannot decide to follow Jesus, my friend. Jesus is the one who has given you. He has come to you with the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit of adoption. You are adopted into the New Testament church. You cannot choose him. So whilst that song is melodious and is emotional, it is a bit heretic. It is heretic because you cannot choose Jesus. You cannot choose Jesus because you were dead in your sins. How can a dead man make a choice? You cannot. So he has given us the spirit of adoption. There is no baby, there is no child who has got no parents who is gonna go out into the community and hunt for parents to adopt him and say, I'm here for adoption. No, the adopters, they come to the children's home and look through the files and decide which child to adopt. So you see, now we got to have faith in that process, that God has loved you So when you find yourself being in trouble, being unsure of what's happening in your life, you can be self-assured that God has already chosen you for salvation, and you can stay calm, and you can stay put in this love of God, within the faith that God has got a good plan for you. That, my friend, is the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus.
First John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come
in the flesh
is of God.
And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God.
And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come,
and even now already is it in the world. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ,
not that Jesus Christ,
is come in the flesh is not of God.
Oh, and this is that spirit of Antichrist.
Manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might.
So the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, as it says in the book of Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, starts with you realizing that there isn't much you have done to bring salvation into your life. This salvation has come to you by grace. It is by grace that you are saved through faith. You cannot claim to have contributed anything, because the Savior Jesus, he did it all. Before you knew him, he did it all. Before you had an idea of who he was or who he is, he did it all. Before you were even born, he even knew you before you were born. He says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. So he has chosen you to hear the true gospel and to know that the true Jesus Christ cannot be chosen by a human being, because every human being is born unaware of who God is, unaware of who Jesus is, unaware of what the scriptures say. you got to be introduced to that information. And the introduction of that information, if it is the true information which gives you the true Jesus, then that is the working of the grace, that is the working of the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So we are saying that the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you is the number one, is the grace of God which is working in your life, allowing you the life to have existed long enough to hear his gospel, and long enough for you to believe the scriptures, long enough for you to have a waking knowledge of the true Jesus, if you've got the true Jesus, that is, and then he's given you the peace of God. You are no longer an enemy of God, because the one who is an enemy of God is the one who is rejecting the love God has shown, because he says, He God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, if you then, the scripture then verse 17 says that for God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, this begotten son, the world must be saved. But then if you refuse, if you reject this begotten son, the scripture says in verse 18 that he who rejects this Jesus is condemned already, because he has not believed in the son, in the begotten son which God has given to the world. Why is it like that? When does this condemnation begin? Because he says God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. So when did the condemnation begin? When did it begin? The condemnation began with Adam. So don't say that your God is a cruel God. Why is he going to send to hell all these people, all these billions of people? You mean this God of yours is going to send all these billions of people to hell simply because they don't believe in the resurrected Savior or of the New Testament Church, Jesus Christ? What kind of a God is that? He is a cruel God. He is a genocidal God. He is a this God and the F and Jeff, this God of the New Testament. But the problem with that narrative is that these people who say that, they are assuming that without Jesus they are already okay. They don't know that even before Jesus came, they were not okay. Even before Jesus came, because the problem started in the Garden of Eden, remember, when Adam bowed down to the devil and he submitted and paid obeisance to the devil by following the instructions of the devil. And the snake came, the snake before the tree, he came and he made them eat his doctrine, and they believed in him. And by virtue of that, the devil adopted Adam and his wife into his own kingdom. You see, now for God to reverse that adoption which the devil did, he has to send his only begotten son, the one who was going to come as a lamb of sacrifice born in the manger, and then he was going to be crucified on the cross as the lamb of sacrifice, and then he's going to go to hell and then defeat the devil in hell. According to Romans chapter 1 verse 18, he says, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of hell and of death. Where did you get them from? Because he did go to hell. We know that from Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8, 9, 10, 11, that he actually did descend into the lower parts of the earth, into the heart of the earth. So he went to hell for you so that you don't have to go, because even before Jesus came, you were already headed for hell anywhere. You see, so the fact that Jesus came, and the scripture says he who does not receive this begotten son of God is condemned already, it does not mean that the coming of Jesus is the one which is gonna bring condemnation. So that you say, if I don't believe in this Jesus of yours, then it means God is going to send me to hell. That is a wrong question. It's an unqualified question. It's a wrong narrative question. It's an ignorant question. It's a question which is not informed. It's a question which is flat-footed on the wrong foundation, because it's assuming that the coming of Jesus is the one which is going to cause people to go to hell. No, a thousand times no. The coming of Jesus is not the one which is going to cause people to go to hell. people were already going to hell before Jesus came. So don't say, oh, this God of yours, how if I don't believe in that foolish Jesus of yours, that stupid Jesus of yours, then you mean that he's going to send me to hell? What type of God is that? Wrong question, my friend. Wrong question. The correct question is, well, how is it that it happened that all human beings are bound for hell anyway? How is that possible? How did that came to be? Well, it came to be because the first man, Adam, submitted and was adopted by the devil, and the devil belongs to hell, and the devil is the one who is taking people to hell. Therefore, the Savior now, when he says Jesus is the answer to what? To the problem of hell. He is the answer to the problem of the devil taking people to hell. That is the answer. He is the answer to that problem, because that problem was already here even before Jesus came. So, my friend, before you condemn God, before you condemn this Jesus as being unloving and narrow-minded and antisocial and whatever names and labels you smear at his office, you are backing up the wrong tree, my friend. The problem is you are ignorant, and because you are ignorant, you cannot have the faith which we are talking about. In any case, the book of Philemon was written to a believer. So the talk today is about believers, the New Testament believers. We're trying to say to the New Testament believer, you need to know more about this God and being able to explain yourself what is it that you believe. So we said, acknowledging every good thing which is in you. The number one thing is grace of God is in you. The peace of God is in you. The love of God is in you. And the faith of God is in you. Now, this faith, we need to explain it, because the faith in what? Because the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 verse 1 it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I want to say to you that this Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, does not refer to motor vehicles and cars, same thing, aeroplanes, a house on the hill, a promotion at work, a good husband, a good wife, good children, all these kind of physical narratives. No, the evidence of things hoped for, the number one predominantly answer to what kind of this thing are you hoping for is that we are hoping for eternal life, which is salvation from being taken to hell. That is the number one thing. So the faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are these things hoped for? Is the things which are involved in the process of rescuing humanity from being taken to hell by the devil and then taken to heaven by the Lord Jesus. There is a procedure unto salvation, and that procedure unto salvation is what gives us hope. For what you hope for, the what you have, but if you don't have it, you hope for it, right? And Jesus has brought us the hope of eternal life in that he has come, and when he has come, he has done the procedure unto salvation. He has allowed himself to be the ultimate sacrifice, replacing all the animals of the Old Testament and replacing all the Levitical priesthood temple offerings and replacing all the laws of Moses and replacing all the religious laws of the world. They being replaced in Jesus Christ the Savior. So those are the things hoped for, that he has done it for us. We hope for it. That word hope, it means an earnest expectation of that which has been preserved for us. So we got this earnest expectation that the scriptures are true, that Jesus has come and he has endured the equation and the formula and the procedure unto salvation on our behalf, and he is now the high priest of the New Testament church, the king of the New Testament church, and according to Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And because he's doing all these things, these are the things we hope for, that at the end of this life we may be ushered into the kingdom of heaven, which is in heaven, in the afterlife, in eternal life in heaven, instead of being left in hell with the devil. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is what we are hoping for. In the process, yes, we may get an education, we may buy a car, we may buy a house, we may do this or do that, but in reality, all those kind of things are not what the substance of things hoped for are. The substance of things hoped for is eternal life in heaven and the process to get there. Those are the things hoped for. So when the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Those elders of the New Testament, they were just playing a drama, a choreographed drama of what the Savior Jesus was going to come and do to establish the New Testament church. So everyone mentioned here, through faith, by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Gideon, by faith, Jephthah, by faith, whoever else is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, those things which they did, they were painting a drama of the Lord Jesus, of what he was going to come and do when he would eventually come to establish the New Testament church. So we are not wrong to say that it's faith is the substance of things hoped for. It means that we are talking about the efficacy and the efficiency and the correctness of the New Testament formula, that this is what is going to take people to heaven. So that is what we have faith in. So in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for we got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But God has already so faith is the substance of things, so, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So remember, we said the love of God has appeared to all men, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that is given us his only begotten Son, right? So we have faith in that process. So without faith in the process, or in the reality, or in the truth that God has given his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Without faith in that process, without having faith in that process of how the Savior came, of how he came as a lamb of sacrifice, or in the office of the lamb of sacrifice, of how then he was crucified on the cross, of how then he went into hell and defeated the devil and came back to life victorious with the keys of hell and of death, and how he changed from the lamb of sacrifice to become the Savior of the world, to become the Savior of the New Testament church, to become the King of the New Testament church, and how he became the God of the New Testament church, how that process happened. If you don't have faith in that process, you cannot please God. Yeah. But now we hear people say, oh, I'm hoping to buy a car, and I'm fasting and developing my faith so that God can give me this car. My friend, if you want a car, go work, get some money and go buy a car. There is no need to fast in order for you to get a car. There's no need to fast in order for you, or to read the scriptures and fast and do an all-night prayer in order for you to obtain a house, a car, or a job, yeah, or any of these perishable things. No, there are formulas in the world where you can follow those formulas and get what you want. If you want a house, go work and get more money and get a mortgage, or buy the house cash. Depends on you, on how well established your financial generating projects are going to be. You don't need faith for that. So don't say, without faith I cannot get a house, without faith I cannot get married, without faith I cannot drive a car. No. There are people in the world today who are getting married, who are buying houses, who are buying aeroplanes, who are buying beautiful flats, who are having children, who are having promotions at work, and they don't believe in Jesus. So if you think that faith is going to bring you those narratives, those kind of physical things, what about the people who are doing it without Jesus? What do you say to them? You see how wrong you are? So the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you includes the element of faith. You got to have faith in the correct thing, my friend. You got to have faith in the correct thing. Because we know that as in Adam, all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. That's 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 22 there. As in Adam, all die. When Adam submitted himself to the devil and the narrative that if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will become as gods. Yeah, they did indeed become as gods, because the devil is the god of this world and he's got demons which are also gods of this world. And Adam was adopted into the kingdom of the devil, and indeed he became as the gods of this world, away from God, rejected from God, afraid of God, running away from God, which is why when God came walking in the cool of the day in the garden, what did Adam do? He ran away from God, exactly as the demons do, because the scriptures say, you believe there is one God, in the book of James says, you believe there is one God, even the demons believe and tremble. They fear this God of heaven. So when Adam had submitted himself to the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of the devil, the first thing which he experienced was the fear of God. So we are born ignorant of God, which means we are born dead to God. God knows us. But our spirit man, remember we said there is two sides to a human being. You are a spirit who lives in a body and you've got a soul. So your spirit man, when you are born on this earth, has got no idea who God is. Spiritually speaking, when you are born as a baby, you have got no concept. You have got no understanding. You've got no idea of who God is. So your faith now, when the scriptures have come, is to know that because of Adam, we are born not knowing who God is, which to God is called spiritual death, because we are separated spiritually from him, though he can still communicate with us via the physical realm of life. So as in Adam all die, as he says there, 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So faith is one thing which is in you, to know that in Adam we are born dead to God, destined for hell. But when Christ has brought his salvation into your life as a gift to you, then you are redeemed, you are saved from the process of going to hell. Now we are put in a dimension where you have got a chance at eternal life. You see, if you believe correctly and you stay on the journey and you follow the narrow path. So my friend, I'm saying to us that as in Adam all die, but in Christ Jesus all shall be made alive, if you are believing the correct Jesus, that is. So one thing which is in you is the resurrection life of Jesus. If you've believed correctly, that is the resurrection life of Jesus himself. You can declare that by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in me, you can declare that, you know what, every human being is born dead to God, spiritually dead to God, spiritually separated from God, spiritually estranged from God in the death of Adam, in the adoption and being subject to the devil, which is why you don't have to teach your children to do evil. No, because they are born with evil, but you got to teach them to do good, you see, because Adam was adopted by the devil, and therefore we are born naturally inclined to do evil and to do bad things. That is the nature of the adoption which Adam gave all humanity. So the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you is to say, you know what, Father, I thank you that I was dead in the death which Adam gave all humanity, but because of the life which Jesus, the last Adam, has brought into my life, into my spirit man, I am now alive from the death of Adam. I am now alive from the death of Adam. Therefore, I'm no longer going to be subject to the second death, which is being thrown into the lake of fire or on the day of judgment. I am no longer destined for hell in that manner, because I've got the life of Jesus in me, because that life of Jesus is removed or replaced. It's a theory of replacement. He has replaced the death of Adam. I've replaced the death of Adam with the life, resurrection life of Christ Jesus, which is why it says in Romans chapter 8 on verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that's another thing to celebrate. You've got faith that you are no longer condemned. You see now, because the scripture says so, and because the scripture says so, as in Adam all die, but all in Christ, death as by one man death entered the world, and through one man also eternal life enters into the world. And that is what it says in Romans chapter 5 there from verse 12. So I'm saying to us, my friend, that God already, this is the love of God, that he gives us it everlasting life. He already gives us that everlasting life. If we know that God loves us, and if he loves us, we can be sure that if we love him back, because he has already loved us, he gives that everlasting life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. You see, that word die was not meaning that separated from the biological body. The spirit is not going to come from the biological body. It means that you are not going to perish in hell. That word die means perish. He that believes in me, that's what he says in John chapter 11. He that believes in me shall not perish in hell, but shall have everlasting life. You see, but so that is those are the kind of narratives, that's the kind of faith which we need to have in order for us to be sure that indeed we are acknowledging every good thing which is in us, which is me, which is in you, if you have believed correctly, that is. So I'm saying to you, my friend, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So you can acknowledge that I am not going to perish. So then, that just as one trespass brought condemnation to all men, so also one act of righteousness brought justification and life to all people, to all believers. That's in Romans chapter 5 verse 18 there. And Colossians 2:13 says that when you were dead in your trespasses and in the circumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our trespasses whilst we were still dead in our sins. You see that? And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, he says that God is made alive with Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, it is by grace that we are saved. So we can see, my friend, that this narrative of the scriptures, what is it that we have in us? What we have in us is 2 Timothy chapter 1 on verse 10, which says, and now he has revealed his grace through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death in hell and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the gospel, in which is going to be eternal life in heaven. So you see, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 is very clear. He has abolished death and brought immortality to light. There is immortality, my friend, not the perishing in hell. So you can celebrate that fact that we got the life of God in you. That was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 25 on verse 8, where it says that he shall swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove the disgrace of his people from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. So he shall wipe out tears. He shall swallow up death forever. So what is it that you have, my friend? And Romans chapter 8 verse 11. And if the spirit of him which raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit which dwells in you. My God. So you see what the scriptures are saying? These are the things which are to acknowledge, my friend. That is what you acknowledge, that it is in you. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the spirit of the living God. But it has got to be the correct Jesus, because Romans chapter 8 verse 11 summarizes correctly for us, yeah? And if the spirit of him which raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So what do you have in you? I've got the spirit which raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? It means that I'm no longer subject to that death which Adam had, because people who are still subject to the death of Adam, they're still dust of the earth. And God said, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But if you have got the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in you, the spirit of Jesus that lives in you, he says, I am the water of life. He who believes in me shall have gushes of living water flowing out of their belly. You see, so the spirit of the resurrection of Christ changes you from dust to clay. And the scripture says that we've got this treasure in earthen vessels or in jars of clay. That jar of clay becomes your body, my friend. The jar of clay is your body, which has been transformed from the death of Adam to the jar of clay, which contains the resurrection life of Christ Jesus. And that is the number one thing which is in you, if you have believed correctly, my friend. That is what it means to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
Love the music? Love Radio Africana.